gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a road.
Investigating somebody else. And no, I'm not talking about Loretta Lynch, although you could include her in the mix. You'll just have to stick around and see who I am talking about. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show as we come to you live once again on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. I am Christopher Hart, and in the studio with me once again, adorned in pink, is none other than the chairman of the board, the radio guy himself, Mike McBath.
Chris, you see no baseball tonight.
That's right.
Now, I did see the record at, we'll call it halftime for baseball, 34-54 for the poor Rays.
They got some work to do.
I don't know if they're 20 games out or whatever, but you talk about the change. I hope the general manager's at the All-Star game. You know, I don't know if he can make any deals, but something has to happen for the fans.
We got Nick LoCicero on the bridge tonight. 407-774-8255 is the number. It'll just be us, no guests tonight, so feel free to call us at any time. We got a whole lot to talk about, though, so once again, we got 2 hours full of good stuff for you here tonight. And we got a poll question as well. If you've not downloaded, please do so. Download the free WORL-FM-AM app into your smart mobile device, and it's real easy to do if you have an Apple. If you have problems, if you have an Android, just give Nick a call here on the call-in number, and he'll help walk you through it. And that way you can listen to us if the Rays happen to be playing tonight. And
they're better off not playing, Chris.
Yeah, they are at this point. But Friday, for instance, they'll be playing at 7 o'clock, so the pregame show will start at 6:30. So if you have that app, you'll be able to listen to us on that smart device. Or you can always go to the website, am660theanswer.com, or our website, AmericanAdversaries.com. Hit that listen live button on the home page, and you'll be able to hear us regardless of whether the Rays are playing or not. And I use that word playing loosely.
Come on, Chris. This is the hometown team. We got those two guys are on there.
Hey, I'm just trying to rally the troops.
Yeah, we got to get them all fired up to go all the way over there.
I guess now we know why Joe Madden bailed out and went to coach the Cubs, manage the Cubs.
Well, he's a lot happier, too.
Indeed.
The Cubs are playing pretty good baseball.
Because Joe Madden is a good manager.
Yeah.
All right, as I said, we got a poll question up tonight. Let's go to Nick, find out what it is.
Yeah, we're asking about that Bernie Sanders endorsement of Hillary Clinton. Will the Sanders endorsement help raise Hillary's poll numbers?
All right. And once again, if you have the app, you can participate in that poll. And we'll give you an update a little bit later on in the show. We'll have the final results before we go off the air tonight. We'll be talking about that endorsement here shortly. But before we do, I want to start with the memorial service this afternoon in Dallas, where there were a number of speakers, including George W. Bush, old W., and Barack Obama. And George Bush gave an eloquent speech. I'll comment on both of them, and they were both speeches in their own right. They were attempts to sort of heal,
uplifting, bring everyone together.
Right, right. Exactly. I'm going to point out, however, the problem with that. For instance, with George W.'s speech, and it was an excellent speech, and you know, it reminded me of that the bumper sticker, "Have missed me yet?"
with him kind of waving.
You're right.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And because his words, I thought, were more soothing
But he did say that what we need to sort of get back to are our common values, the things that would bind us together, would have bound this nation together since its beginning. And, you know, I understand where he's coming from. It was an appropriate thing to say. Unfortunately, it is our common values, quote unquote, and what he's talking about is the Judeo-Christian values that this nation has been founded upon, have been under attack for, well, decades, 100 years, ever since the progressive movement took over our political system. The Judeo-Christian common values have been under attack, and have been under attack, of course, by the left. And now, not just by the left, but by radical Islamic terrorism and Islam, Sharia law. So it's going to be pretty difficult to take that path, at least directly. We can maybe work our way toward that again. But first, I believe we're going to have to recognize that these common values that W was so eloquently speaking about today have been under attack. And when it comes to, you know, the diehard Black Lives Matter person, I'm sure they were gagging with a spoon when W was saying those things, right? I mean, they really don't want to go there, because they don't like those old values. They don't understand the value in those values that brought us together. You know, I would like that it were different, but it's not, and we have to be real here. And then there's the president. Now, he stepped up after Debbie, and he called for a new heart. And I raised my hand immediately.
Oh, yeah. Chris, the heartless.
No. he called that we must have a new heart. Once again, it was a speech meant to heal, bring us together. But here's the problem with his. He said, we need a new heart. We must listen to one another. And then he said, and we must, if you are a teenage kid, or excuse me, he started out this way. If you are a cop out there, you must imagine that these kids are, you know, just, I forget how he worded it, and I'm sorry I don't have a transcript in front of me. But in essence, he said, we must use our imagination. We must put ourselves in the other person's shoes. The cop must put himself in the shoes of the
right
suspects, all right? And the young teenage kid, black kid, must look at the cop as his parental authority and see in the cop his parents type thing. And he said, our founders gave us the institutions so that, get this, no one is above the law.
Right. Do you believe that right after Hillary's hearing?
And while Loretta Lynch was down there making excuses for her being above the law, right? We'll get to her in a minute, though. I want to get back to Obama. And this thing about listening and imagining, putting yourself in the other person's shoes and, you know, trying to see things from their perspective, listening, hearing what they're saying. And I want to ask the president, when is one time that you can tell me in your 7.5 years so far of your administration that you have done so, sir? That's right. There hasn't been one. Remember when the Republicans went to him and tried to work on some legislation, and he said, I won the election and elections have consequences? And he pushed them and he pushed them and he never gave in. Never was there any attempt at bipartisanship. And now he has the gall and the audacity to stand there in Dallas and call it for it from the rest of us? Do you think he's going to be listening much to Donald Trump in the upcoming campaign? See, he doesn't do what he's saying. So his words have no power. His words are empty. They go up in smoke and they disappear, and that's the end of it.
I mean, Chris, you all know and we all understand. I mean, we all have great distrust toward this individual. At least, you know, myself and the many
people. He's brought it on himself.
Right. And the reality of it is every time he talks about, and sadly enough, it's just about every other week there's just, you know, some type of appearance he has to make. And then here we go into the gun control situation. But you look at this individual and you just think, why? You're from Chicago, right? You always hate reverting back to that, but it's so simple. Why haven't you cured Chicago? So why do you think you're going to cure everything else? And you and all your buddies, Jesse Jackson, you know, Al Sharpton, you're all from Chicago. yet none of you will do anything. You talk the game, but you don't play it. And that does reflect very much on my acceptance of any of his type of speech.
I'll agree with most of that, except your last little bit there about talking it. He doesn't even really talk
it. That's true.
Now, today he did. And Medved was all full of praise and everything. But the problem is, as I said, his words are empty because he does not act upon them.
Right.
And if he does not act upon his own words, why should anyone else? And that's what everyone else thinks. And that's why his words are powerless. They're impotent. They are, as I said, they're just up in smoke. They're gone. That's it. Tomorrow's a brand new day. He's back on the campaign trail. Trump's a jerk. Now, you know, he's back to the lecture mode, not the listen mode, right? If he wants people to do what he's talking about, he has to set the example. He hasn't done it in 7.5 years, and he is incapable of doing it. Now, he can stand up there and read it from a teleprompter, but I dare him to do it. A double triple dog dang don't dare him to do it. Of course he won't.
There's no performance on his side in the area we need most. You know, and like listening to him again is like reading an insurance policy, right? Blah, 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 blah. And you hate to be that simplistic about it, but I have really trouble watching him knowing he's just there for political reasons, and I know how much he really cares about the American people.
Well, all I can say is that if he wants those words to have any meaning whatsoever, he must show it and do it himself.
Right. Show me the me the money.
Exactly.
You know, because we're tired of just rhetoric when Chicago sits right in your backyard and more people are murdered there than probably any city. Actually, I think more people have been murdered in Chicago in the last couple of years than were murdered in the Iraq War. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, we just put another 560 boots on the ground in Iraq. So, once again, his words were eloquent, but they're empty. They were powerless because he puts nothing behind them.
Just a story, unfortunately. Right. Just a story.
And poor George W., once again, his speech was it was an eloquent speech. But unfortunately, our common values have been what is under attack. That's why the police officers were shot. It was as much an attack on our civilization, our culture, as it was on the police department.
Really, and that's what it is.
And until we understand that, it's just like Islamic terrorism. Until we understand what we're fighting, there's no way, and you know what, that we're ever going to be able to do anything about it. We'll stand up, we'll say nice things, and then the next day,
it's
back to the campaign trail. Yep. That's right. Same old, same old.
Yep.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Brad's on the line. Please be patient, Brad. We'll get to you on the other side of the break. You're listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, and we will be right back.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Pretending that
you're still around. Isn't that the greatest song, though, Chris? I wish I knew all the words.
It is a great tune.
Pretend too much. Now, is this dedicated to Obama?
No, this one's dedicated to... could be.
No, I was going to say, because it'd be very suiting for him.
It would be. It would be. But actually, today we are going to dedicate it to Bernie Sanders, who is pretending that he likes Hillary Clinton, and that he's endorsed her. And it was ironic, or it was very funny, because there he was, you know, giving his speech, and she was standing there nodding away. I don't mean sleeping. I mean nodding away.
Yeah.
And he's talking about the problem with income inequality and how it has skyrocketed, all of this. And here's, of course, she's standing there worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
I know. This is so insane.
Sucked the life out of Haiti with that foundation and everything, right? And he's endorsing her. All right.
Chris, one thing, too, though, I was watching is like you. And I'm thinking about this. Here's Hillary, right?
Yeah.
She's the most pro-war candidate is, probably the most, obviously, the most pro-Wall Street, right?
Yeah.
And the most trade. And that's absolutely
everything
the reverse.
Bernie was against.
Yeah, it's like,
that's
Bernie, do you have any principles?
Pretend.
But I do believe, Chris, and I think you agree, that So much time has passed since when Bernie, you know, since the last, let's say, voting period.
Right.
But so much enthusiasm is out of the balloon. It's half deflated as it is now. I think he's going to, the carryover is going to be just pathetic. I don't think there's going to be any massive carryover into Bernie.
So for our poll question today, we can put you down as a no?
You can put me as a no.
Okay. All right. Brad has been patiently holding. Thank you for doing that, Brad. We appreciate you being there.
Hey, guys. Good
afternoon. Brad.
You know, I want you all to know, I go online a lot, and what I like to do is uncover new areas where we might not have thought about to prove our case that not only is the left, the far left, harboring and brainwashing African Americans and their ilk, all the Democrats, to think racially charged, to race bait, but also be racist. And even in academia, and when I go online, I talk to college professors that are far lefties, and I uncover things that would just blow your mind, and it's stunning. The two biggest come to mind are the definition of the word fascism and how they compare Republicans to Hitler, newer versions of dictionaries put in the words right wing. But when you go to Merriam-Webster, those words are not there. They were academically inserted.
Correct.
Fascist can be secular, Mao, Lenin, Stalin. They were all fascist dictators, but they were secular, state-run, socialist, and or communist.
Right.
But the professor I was arguing with told me I didn't know what I was talking about, because it's ingrained. These left-wing professors want nothing. They want people to associate Christians and right-wing with that word. That's number one.
Right.
I don't know if you knew that, but the number two one is really out of left field. I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I'm really an expert on the life and career of Elvis Presley. The left wing brainwashes African Americans into thinking that Elvis was a racist who stole from blacks. The fact is, Elvis Presley, when he opened his mouth in the studio, out came his loves of music. But guess what? They weren't just black music. That was part of it, black blues. The other was gospel, which was his favorite, and white country western, Hank Williams, etc.
Right.
Well, when you mix all three of those, like this young little artist did in 1953 and 54, rockabilly came out. And rock and roll is a wonderful melding of race music. So the left, in their hatred and bigotry, is brainwashing African Americans into thinking Elvis was a racist. And this is a sure sign of just a really sick mind. Do you guys agree with that?
Well, yeah, I've known about the Elvis thing, and I was aware of the thing with the fascism thing. It was several decades ago. Right wing extremists and fascists were equated with one another. Okay, so that's where they brought the right wing part into it. And as far as Elvis goes, there's always been a little bit of that, a little bit of jealousy. I think with who was it, Little Richard, who thought Elvis stole his style, you know, jumping around and juking around.
I think Elvis did a pretty good job, Little Richard. No offense, buddy.
I think Elvis was just a natural. He was just a pure natural. Everything that he did just came to him naturally. Kind of like Michael Jackson. I mean, when they got up there and did their music, and their legs started twitching and their hips started bouncing, and that was just natural. I mean, it was just the way they felt and did their music. But you're right. The left, this is what I'm talking about when I was mentioning earlier about W calling for us to get back to our common values. This is just one example of our common values being under attack. I mean, we can't even enjoy an entertainer without that person being accused of somehow being involved in the racial divide in the United States of America. You know, that is our common values being attacked.
But Chris, you know who developed Afro-American?
Thanks, Brad, for the call. Appreciate
it. Afro-American, that term was derived by who? Jesse Jackson.
And
is that not a divisive term?
It
Do
is.
I walk around, go, hey, Chris, hi, German-American, hi, Mike, Irish-American, hi, but, you know, this was done purposely to split people.
Yeah, it was. It was, let's assume for a moment his intentions were good.
Oh, please.
That he wanted to give black people, you know, a better sense of their identity.
Well, how about being American?
Well,
we're all American.
Unfortunately, that's what it did, is it ripped people away from the common values and the common cores that we were developing. I'm not talking about the educational. The common core values that we were being developed with one another. And I'm talking about the Judeo-Christian values. And those are the ones that have been under attack in so many different ways. And Brad's was just one example of that today. The Black Lives Matter movement today, that's what they are doing. They are attacking our common values. And it is sort of that same Jesse Jackson approach. Let's divide ourselves away in order to make ourselves somehow more impactful on the whole. Right. It just doesn't work.
They just seem to be masters of words in the sense that they use these words to always split, never to bring
together. Well, of course, that's why, and this is what I said on Sunday night show, which, by the way, after tonight's show, you'll be able to find in our archive. The Black Lives Matter movement, if its intentions were noble at the beginning, it was hijacked immediately by the left. Anytime the left and the left politicians take over a movement, it's going to go straight to hell. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. We can go to the mat for you, too. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number. Christopher Hart here along with the chairman of the board, Mike McBath. And do you think that Bernie Sanders' endorsement will help Hillary? That's our poll question today. That's a variation of it anyway. And if you have that app downloaded in your smart device, you can participate in that poll question. We'll give you an update a little bit later on in the show. Yeah, Bernie did endorse her today, and I don't think it's going to make much difference.
And I think Bernie is sort of burnt out. You know what I mean? In other words, you run a race, and then you trip 2 years before you cross the line, and now you're labeled a loser. I mean, in all seriousness, now she's the winner, right?
Yeah.
I think all of his supporters are going to dissipate. I think at the convention he'll talk the talk, but he's such a fraud because, as we just mentioned earlier, the major platform of Hillary Clinton doesn't match his at all. So how could you support Bernie?
In fact, it's the young voters that she's having a hard time that flock to
And they're the ones
him.
That actually believe in who they select.
Right.
And now you see what a fraud Hillary is. And actually what Bernie is, they just haven't figured economics out yet. But, you know, they can go to Venezuela. What we ought to do is get scholarships, send them all to Venezuela.
He's an honest fraud because at least he admits he's a socialist, right?
Yeah. Well, that is true. He claims what he is. You know?
That's right. Mm. But so if anything, I think that, the people who would have voted for Hillary anyway are going to vote for Hillary anyway. But that
right, but she's not going to have any uplift
fresh,
in support.
Exactly, that
it's
fresh enthusiasm that he brought to the primary is going to go away with him. Because for the very thing that you said, you know, he got some, you know, he got a few crumbs out of that the platform meeting that was held here last week in Orlando, and he got there going to be a $15 an hour minimum wage in there, something more universal health care in there, you know, his socialist stuff was thrown in, but the platform really doesn't mean anything. Nobody's going to pay any attention to it. I mean, the Republicans will criticize the Democrats, and the Democrats will criticize the Republicans, but other than the critics, nobody else is going to care. So, you know, it's no big deal, and yeah, he's...
I mean, there's just no air in the balloon. The balloon has been popped. Sorry, Bernie, we're going into the pasture, buddy. You're like an old horse. It's time to retire.
Indeed it is. And the young people, once again, who were flocking to Bernie, oddly enough, see Hillary Clinton as the one with the old ideas.
Right.
And they are. I mean, it's just more of the same, you know, tax and spend liberalism, you know, top-down government. For instance, her suggestions about the Dallas situation, was she going to talk to the white folk, all right? And then
is that a racist statement?
I believe it is.
Talk to the white folk?
I believe it is. But and then also she wants universal guidelines for police departments around the country. She wants federal training for all and retraining for all police departments around the country. In other words, she wants a federal police force.
Takeover.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's an absolute takeover.
Exactly. And that, of course, is not what,
none of the police would be enthused about that aspect.
Well, thank God. But unfortunately, if she's elected president, they may not have much to do about it.
We got Paul Ryan. He's a fighter. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, boy.
I knew you would kill you with that one.
Yeah, sure.
Did you see, though, that Ryan was getting waxed in a recent poll up
in Wisconsin?
Yeah.
He
really dropped tremendously, and the other fella, I guess, is a pretty aggressive competitor and is running some effective ads.
And has Sarah Palin's endorsement.
Right. So this could be a real tough primary for our friend Paul.
Indeed, it could be. Ooh. Indeed, it could be. All right, we got Frank on the line, so let's take his phone call before we go any further. Frank, how you doing tonight? Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Well, you got to love Sarah. She don't care who thinks what, man. She plays it on the line.
Yeah, that was probably the only correct decision John McCain made
in his lifetime,
was to choose her as his running mate, which, by the way, boosted his campaign.
The submariner after that. You know,
yeah, but, unfortunately so.
Look, I noticed a new strategy with the left. They must have the talking points going out, okay? They're always about owning the language. And I heard it from Mark Lamont Hill a couple of days ago, you know, the smartest guy in the room.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then last night, Kelly had a pretty contentious group, which I thought was pretty decent stuff. And the snarky young black guy that she has on all the time with the tight curly hair and the wire-rimmed glasses, another smartest guy in the room guy, right?
Mr. Peepers.
Yes.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay. They said the exact same thing. So I noticed the talking points going out, and here's what they say. Well, the definition of racism is, and then they give this definition that basically incorporates the idea that the person has to have power.
Yeah, institutional power, they call it. Institutional, right.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
first of all, that's not the definition of racism.
No, it's clearly not. It's clearly not. And this is kind of a similar pattern as we saw with the earlier caller with Brad and the adding of right-wing extremists to the definition
academia
of fascism.
Garbage.
Exactly.
Is what it is.
They add these little enhancements.
Right. Cute little words to try to make you feel guilty.
Well, and also to bolster their political arguments, mm-hmm. right? Because if fascists are right-wing extremists and Republicans like Ted Cruz is a right-wing extremist, well, then he must be a fascist, therefore, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they control the language. And if they control the language, they control the argument. If they control the argument, they control the mind.
You watch for this push to redefine the word racism.
Well, they have already redefined it, but, yeah, they'll push it further.
That's the thing, though. The institutional power.
You're exactly right. Go ahead.
I mean, Lamont Hill sitting across from me, here's what I'll say. Well, really, doctor? Well, tell me, what is the proper word for someone that hates someone else based on their skin color?
Well, it's not even that. Racism, the actual...
You're racist, period.
Well, no. The actual scientific, if you will, definition of racism is you think that your race is superior to another or all other races.
Yeah,
has nothing really to do with skin color. It has to do with superiority.
And that's racism. But what is the word? What word do you use, doctor, for someone that hates someone else that's on a skin color? I mean, yeah, okay, they can't. Blacks can't be racist because they don't have the institutional power. Well, what can they be, haters?
Bigots. You're a bigot, basically.
Yeah, I looked that up too, and that didn't exactly.
You're prejudiced, but you're not racist unless you're thinking that a black person is less capable in terms of intellect and DNA.
Right.
It's like the Jimmy the Greek thing. Yeah, more or less. Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Can you imagine if people live without the word racism? I would like to hear the left describe different situations. There's no word racism.
Well,
you know,
if Barack Obama would have wanted mm-hmm. to enhance his speech today, he would have said, and as we're listening to one another, we should quit calling each other racists. Right? Because we're not racists.
Institutional system thing. It was the past of Baltimore on air talk.
Yeah, but once again, it is so that they can control the language.
Sure.
And if you control the language, you control the argument.
He lives in Baltimore. The blacks control everything. From all top to bottom, the system is controlled by blacks, okay?
Yeah, what I'm talking about is liberals controlling the language and Republicans and conservatives not being effective in turning that argument around. So, but you're right. You're right, Frank. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
Bye, guys.
Yeah,
bye.
Thanks for being out there.
But no, could you imagine the trouble, though, that a lot of these left-wing morons that are on TV would have describing the acts of someone, if you just said, well, you can't use the word racism in any form of conversation.
Well, then they might be...
they have to actually try to describe it.
Accurately.
It'll come out accurate.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, tell me, now you can't use that word. Now, what is it?
You see, exactly, because the whole point of using that word in that sense is to fog the argument.
You got it.
Right?
It means too many things to too many people. It's so ineffective. I think it's just a BS word that should be eliminated from the vocabulary.
Because other than our listening audience, there aren't too many people out there who know the actual definition of the word, which has to do with a superiority of one race over another or all others. And when I say superiority, I'm talking about in a biological, a genetic sense. Okay? Not educational, not color, not language, biological, genetic sense.
Okay, here's a sentence for you, Chris. Don Trump is a racist. Is he a racist?
No.
Not at all.
No.
Not under any definition of the word, in my opinion.
No, because he's not going around saying that white people are superior to black people.
Is it because it's because he wants to slow down immigration? That doesn't make him a racist, does it?
No. See, those arguments...
That's what I'm talking
those
about.
Those arguments used to be made, though. Back a couple of hundred years ago, right, when we had slavery, part of the reason why we condoned it was we came up with the rationale that black people were somehow less capable, genetically speaking, biologically speaking, than white people. Therefore, it was okay to enslave them. That is racism, pure and simple. But that went away a long time ago.
No, but don't you think there's massive reverse racism going on?
No.
Affirmative action? Is that not a...
No, it's not. Once again, it's not technically racist.
No, but I'm just saying I put it in the category.
You see, this is why I say the slogan Black Lives Matter is inherently racist. Because it is implying that those lives matter and others don't. Now, that wasn't the intent of the people who started it, at least some of them. I'm sure it was the intent of others to divide, okay, and be racist in that sense. But they should have made it Black Lives Matter 2, T-O-O, as in also. And then it really encompasses what they're trying to say they're trying to do.
Right.
And you can't argue with Black Lives Matter 2. Who can argue with that, right? That's like saying all lives matter. But when you simply say Black Lives Matter, that is racist.
Well, any type of segregation, you know, BET, right? I mean, all these different things that are going on there.
Yeah.
You know, there's certainly labeling of this.
All right. We're going to move on when we come back from the break because Loretta Lynch, Ms. Loretta, was speaking in front of a Senate investigative committee today. Was it Senate or House? Anyway, she was speaking in front of Congressional Investigative Committee today and didn't say much of anything at all.
Because she reminded me of our president, the dancing queen. I mean, the way she danced around the answers, I mean, you just sat there and you're going, will you answer the question?
Well, you know, I was watching a show last night, had nothing to do with any of this. And then after seeing that hearing today, I'm thinking to myself that the FBI needs to be investigating somebody else. Now, we can throw Loretta Lynch in because of that meeting on the tarmac. We'll talk about that. But there's somebody else that I think, after watching this show last night, might fall into the category of being, let's just say, investigatable. I'll tell you who that person is, and we're going to give you our contest rules for Thursday when we come back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show.
I'm a loser. I'm a loser. And I'm not what I appear to be.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, that loser Loretta Lynch was up on Capitol Hill today testifying.
Chris, show some respect for her and Eric Holder. Come on. You know what I mean? I'm getting the wrong impression of your attitude toward justice and freedom for all.
That other loser, you know, who headed up the Fast and Furious business. Did I mention on the show that one of the guns from Fast and Furious was used in the Paris terrorist attacks?
So it went from the United States through Mexico... Across the ocean.
From a legal gun dealer in the United States who didn't want to sell it to the knew it was, you know, and the government forced them to sell these guns. They were shipped to Mexico to drug cartels.
So it went down there.
and wound up in places all over the world. And by the way, one of them also killed a U.S. Customs official, or DEA, I forget which.
So do you believe that the bad guys will always get guns if they want them?
Obviously.
Not even debatable. I'm glad you told me that, because that's a good fact to use in any argument. How did it end up over there? Bad guy gets gun. Good people get killed. Not a good relationship.
You got it. Oh, anyway, Loretta Lynch was up there today, and her testimony was not much different than James Comey's the other day. In essence, when the questions were who made the decision, she wouldn't say if she made the last decision. She just tapped around it. As Mike said, she danced around the questions quite adeptly, and she should have been on Dancing with the Stars, although they would need to bolster the stage.
I was thinking she might be a football player. She can dodge, she can punt, she can do all the things, but just as you said, Chris, this lady just danced and danced, and in essence, we got nothing out of it that would... She didn't want to put herself in the line of fire.
No, obviously she didn't. Right. But where she should have been, I thought, grilled a little bit more intensely was on something that she did, which was wrong, which was the tarmac meeting. The
Fix one, in Phoenix.
The one that we know of.
Right.
The Fix
the
in Phoenix.
The one that we know of, right.
And, you know, and when she was asked about it, she just,
he
asked if he could meet me, and I said, okay. And it was just social conversation, and it doesn't matter. I don't care if they traded recipes for apple pie. Yeah. The meeting still should not have happened, and once it did, she should have recused herself from it, because it doesn't matter what did happen. Right. What matters is the appearance of impropriety. Now, can you imagine if, let's just say Columba Bush... All right, was under investigation for smuggling diamonds into the United States, which she did. Mm-hmm. And her brother Jeb, right?
Mm-hmm.
Her husband Jeb, not her brother. Her husband Jeb meets with Alberto Gonzalez during the George W. Bush administration to talk about an FBI investigation of his wife. Can you imagine the howls and the hoots? And not only would that attorney general have had to recuse themselves, they would have been run out of town. But no, not Ms. Loretta Lynch. She gets to stay as Attorney General. But, you know, last night I was watching this show about Dan Cooper. You ever heard of Dan Cooper or D.B. Cooper?
Mm-hmm.
You know who I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
He was the parachutist hijacker that hijacked that Northwest Airliner 727 in 1971 and jumped out the back of it with $200,000, never to be seen.
Yeah, he disappeared
again, right?
Parachute didn't open.
All right. Well, they never found him, and the FBI officially closed the investigation in terms of what they call the administrative investigation. And they took the documents that the Seattle office, which had been where the investigation was centered, and packed them off to Washington, D.C. But before they did that, they had a couple of the guys who were making this two-part documentary, 4 hours altogether, about D.B. Cooper, Dan Cooper. And these guys went to the FBI, and he was sitting down talking to the lead agent in Seattle. And the lead agent was talking about how people would bring him information. And they were bringing him information, and they were trying to find out if this particular individual, why he had been investigated by the FBI and then eliminated from the suspect list. And he said, because of the Privacy Act of 1974, I can't tell you anything like that. Because any FBI investigation cannot be revealed to the public because of the Privacy Act. The only way the investigation, any facts from the investigation can be revealed is either through an indictment or through court documents that are made public. The FBI itself cannot reveal facts of an investigation. I can hear you and you can tell me things, but I cannot tell you what we know. And I'm sitting there going, now wait a minute. Isn't that what James Comey just did? Isn't that what he just did?
Absolutely.
I mean, not that I mind that he did it, but according to this FBI agent, James Comey broke the law. he maybe now needs to be investigated himself. Not, once again, that I mind that he did it, but he was not supposed to come out and give us the results of the investigation. He was supposed to present it to the Justice Department, and it was up to them to do whatever with it.
Boy, did she dance around that issue of them making any type of decision. She actually sounded like she didn't do her homework, you know, and knew all the nuances of the case. I mean, the way she would dance.
Oh, well, she was obviously playing.
It was sort of embarrassing.
But everybody here is playing stupid, you see?
Yeah, they just...
Even the doggone FBI director is playing stupid. You think he doesn't know about the Privacy Act? All of this stuff is very, very fishy. And so why would he do that?
I mean, foundation. Can we get to that
soon? We'll talk about that. We'll give you our contest rules when we come back from the break. You're listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show, where I guarantee you nobody else has brought up the Privacy Act in this whole doggone affair. Oh, well. Just keep listening. American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, or welcome to the show. Thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate you being there. I am Christopher Hart, along with Mike McBath. We're in the studio. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. And, of course, you can be a part of the show, too, by giving us a call at 407-774-8255. We've been going through some of the day's events and news. And one of the events was Bernie Sanders pretending to like Hillary Clinton and endorsing her today in New Hampshire.
And did you watch that?
No, I listened to some of it.
I actually didn't. I just wonder what the facial expressions, how disgusting that looked. I mean, that would have been well worth the time just to see that.
I wish I could have seen, but it was funny because he was standing there talking about income inequality while there she is.
I know, standing there with a $12,000 dress on, jewelry worth $250,000, and he's talking about that. Yeah.
Got her own house in Washington, D.C., shares a house in Chappaqua with her husband. They got other places. I mean, it's ridiculous, but... But our poll question today, well, let me let Nick tell you and see where we're standing on it so far. Nick, please. Our poll question? Is he not there?
Ground control to Major Tom.
Hey, sorry about that.
That's all right.
All right, we got some phone calls coming in, but we'll grab those in a second. Let me pull up the latest poll results. But the question is, will the Bernie Sanders endorsement of Hillary Clinton raise her poll numbers? So... let me click over here and find the latest results. 71% saying no, it will not, with 29% saying yes.
I'd have to say put me in the no category. I believe she's got about as much support as she's going to get. And it's right in, and we talked about this on the show before, it's right in that 43 to 47% range. You know, that 47% that Mitt Romney was talking about last time? And lo and behold, in today's NBC Survey Monkey poll, she's leading Trump 47-44.
Right.
If it's just
within
the two
the
of
air,
them.
Right? 2.5, 3 points.
Yeah. And by the way, she's down one and he's up one since last week. And but if you include Gary Johnson and this woman Stein in it, then she leads him 40-38, once again in the margin of error, with Johnson getting 11 and Stein getting 6. And we were just talking about Loretta Lynch and how perhaps even the FBI director has gone astray of the law when he revealed the results of their investigation, contrary to the Privacy Act of 1974. The American public, nonetheless, after hearing what he said, 56% of them in two separate polls, 56-35 in one and 56-41 in the other, believe that Comey was wrong in not indicting Hillary Clinton. So that means a number of Democrats in both of those polls agreed that Hillary should have been
indicted.
Great
reading, though, for Trump.
Yeah, you know? indeed. There's a couple of other interesting polls out. Mike,
yeah, I think this one gives you an idea, too, how Trump is sort of accelerating in the poll. Monmouth, they came out with a poll in Iowa, and they have Trump up by 2. But here's the interesting point. Just 2 weeks ago, Clinton had a 14-point lead.
In this now, what, Iowa poll.
Yeah, what a swing in a state like that. And then there was another one you may have on Florida.
Well, no, I got a Nevada one.
Yeah, Florida.
This is Monmouth in Nevada. And it's 45, 41, and 5 for Gary Johnson. 45 Clinton, 41 Trump, 5 for Johnson. So she's basically, and here's something, and by the way, they noted this, and I think we've talked about it on the show mm-hmm. before, but it was noted on MSNBC this morning by one of their Washington Post contributors, and he said that even when Trump was having his bad time, right, with the judge, his civil court judge, and all that, that his numbers went down, but hers did not go up. Not significantly.
Where is she going to get new voters? Over
she's not.
In all seriousness.
She's not. So what she's going to try to do is, of course, suppress his vote.
Right.
And when you have these Never Trumpers out there, it makes her job a little bit easier. But nonetheless, and in these key battleground states, and you mentioned Iowa, which has mm-hmm. not been really known as a battleground state, but nonetheless, that's a significant
an idea of mid-America.
It does. And that Rust Belt and Farm Belt up through there, that the hard working people are looking somewhere else other than Hillary Clinton.
Integrity and honesty does have value in Iowa. You know, I mean, we go hunting out there all the time, and it's a different quality person out there. And I mean, I believe the fact that it was so obvious she lied, that is going to be a major factor.
Yeah. And by the way, Jeb Bush, in an interview he gave to MSNBC.
Oh, great channel.
Looked all sad and forlorn and, he's all worried. And no, he's not going to vote for Trump. He's not going to vote for anybody. And
that's really cowardly.
And I have to take my hat off to one of the MSNBC. Actually, it was Gene.
Right.
You know the fellow I'm talking about, the black columnist.
He's always on. He writes a column.
Gene Robinson. Eugene Robinson said, he kind of laughed and he said, now this was a guy who wanted to be president of the United States. And you have to make tough decisions as president of the United States all the time. And he can't figure this one out. Come on.
Did he make that statement?
Yeah.
That was good.
I thought it was real good. I was going right on, man, right on.
Mm-hmm.
And all these other people out there who ain't going to vote for Trump, you know, and ain't going to vote for Hillary either, and don't go blaming me if she gets elected. Well, you know, if you can't make tough decisions in life, maybe you just better go hide under your bed or something. I don't know.
Chris, you know that Ruth Ginsburg, you know, her statement this week. I mean, if that doesn't motivate Republicans to come out and vote, remember, you're not just voting for the two people running office. She made the statement. She said, could you imagine what this country would be like if Don Trump is elected? Well, wait a second. Is that some degree of bias? You're on the Supreme Court. Why would you make that statement publicly? I'm glad she did, because now we know what we got on the Supreme Court is clearer and clearer, even though we know what type of character this lady is.
Indeed. Let's take this phone call, and then we'll give our contest rules, because I think that kind of fits in with that statement that she gave, the rules of your contest you've come up with. Al, thank you for calling tonight. How you doing?
Pretty good. Hey, I watched that endorsement by Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Oh, man. At first, Hillary was smiling and stuff, and then Bernie started going into how many states he won,
how much support
he got, and all the endorsement was all from with small money campaign, you know, money, and she started looking more prune-faced by the minute.
I'm shrinking into the corner.
Oh, I wish I could have seen it. I was listening to most of it, but I couldn't see it.
And then he talked about Wall Street, and that really, her face really wrinkled up pretty badly.
Well, now, go ahead. Were you going to say anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question, Al, because now you've been a Bernie Sanders supporter. You've made no bones about it. Now that it's a done deal, are you going to vote for Hillary Clinton?
Well, you know, I said this before, I was going to vote for Trump, but Trump flip-flopped one time too many, And that sent me over the edge, and I was like, I'm done with him. Because he claimed he was going to debate Bernie, and then he turned around and said he's not going to debate Bernie. That was it.
All right, so that's what. Well, then, but you didn't answer my question. You said you aren't
going
to vote
for Hillary.
You are?
I'm going Hillary, unfortunately.
All right. Well, maybe we can change your mind between now and
there's
November.
There's still time.
We'll work on that. All right, but Al, thanks for calling and giving us that prune date there, that prune update. We appreciate you being out there.
Like, Chris, that choice, though, I mean, the reality of it is it's so important to the Supreme Court. I mean, that really invalidates the power of the president.
Yeah.
You know, because they're the ultimate ruler.
And it, of course, it's not right for Ruth Bader Ginsburg to come out and weigh in on a presidential election like this. But I hope that it simply backfires on them. And
I'd like to see term limits, too. 10-year term limits for all of these justices.
Well, yeah. Well, that unfortunately, that would take a constitutional amendment.
I don't know if we could ever get
all
to
right,
that point.
Before we take a break, what about this week's contest?
All right,
Thursday
well,
will be contest
yeah,
night.
This should be another fun one. As we all know, the Democratic platform meeting was in Orlando. Do you know
last
where it
week,
was?
It was down at one of those Rosen hotels, I think.
Oh, is that
down
where
there
it was?
On I Drive, yeah.
Oh, I thought it
might
it,
not have been Rosen, but it was
Hooters,
down on I
Hooters
Drive.
Or something. Okay. But, well, okay, forgetting that. It said, but what we've decided to do is let's help the Democrats draw up a profile of the perfect Democratic voter because the convention's coming up. And what we want our listeners to do is give us three characteristics, one, two, three, of a Democratic voter. Now, first characteristic is this Democratic voter must have watched MSNBC and CNN for a minimum of 10 years. That's the first characteristic.
Okay.
My second characteristic is this Democratic voter must have marched in at least 3 Black Lives Matter parades, 3 SEIU union parades, and finally in the Nazi youth protest movement. So that's number two. My number three characteristic would be they must profess to love all people of all color but live in an all-white neighborhood. Now, they're my three characteristics of the perfect Democratic voter, but everybody has their opinion. So that's what I'm looking forward to hearing.
All right, that's for Thursday, so start making your notes. And
wonder if Sick John's out there. You know?
I'm sure he is. He's probably already got the first
yeah,
two
know.
Written down.
Yeah.
So what are those top three characteristics of the perfect Democratic voter in your mind? We'll want to know that on Thursday. Once again, you'll be playing for a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano's. Compliments of Jerry and Janice Shepherd of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service. If you got a Mercedes-Benz, nobody will take better care of that thing than they will for you. Take care of you while they're doing it, too. That's Jerry and jerrysmb.com. Jerrysmbservice.com. And then you'll also get a $10 gift certificate to Tijuana Flats. Compliments of Rick Brown. And don't forget, at that Tijuana Flats in Winter Springs, that's at 434 in Tuscaloosa, coming up on August the 5th. That's be a Friday. The last blast of Summer Family Festival. A lot of fun for the kids, face painting, actually an entertainment show for the kids. It starts at 6 o'clock, and then 7 o'clock, Wendy Benson and her friends are going to entertain you with song and guitars and things, and you're all invited. And so if you win this $10 gift certificate, you'll be able to use it there that night if you don't use it before.
Will Grant be playing there?
I don't know if he'll be there with his banjo that night or not, but he'll probably be there eating anyway.
Well, so, he needs to bring some information.
Yeah,
along,
I'm
right?
sure if he is, he'll have it, that's for sure. And but that's August the 5th, Friday. That's the Winter Springs last blast of Summer Family Festival at the Tijuana Flats in Winter Springs at 434 in Tuscaloosa. All right, we'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show.
All I wanted was a sweet distraction for an hour or two. Had no intention to do the things we've done. Funny how it always goes, but love when you don't look, you find.
Bond.
A little all-time high for you there.
That's a great song.
It is.
Great,
indeed.
great song.
Indeed. Mm. And the stock market, S&P, Dow, all of them,
Chris,
I believe, are at an all-time high.
This is the day that everybody's waiting for. I mean, the Dow actually hit the highest it's ever been. I think we closed around 18,353. The S&P actually Monday hit its all-time high. The Dow this year is up for about 5%, which compared to a few years back doesn't sound too exciting, but you know, when you're making a tenth of a percent in a CD, it's somewhat interesting,
that's
right?
That's pretty exciting, yeah.
But I think, again, as we've talked about, there's enough warning signs out there. And remember, the Dow does sometimes move against the wall of worry, right?
Yep.
And, you know, it's just a case that we had a great job report after one of the worst we've ever had.
Yep.
Now, what will be 4 months from now? Or, I'm sorry, 1 month from now. And then the other thing is when earnings start coming back out again, hopefully our earnings fall in line with positive expectations, not negative. But, you know, also there's a big, you know, a big short position, as we know, in the marketplace. And
yeah.
What shorts do is the minute the market goes up, the only way the guy can get out of a short is he must buy it back.
Buy the stock.
So what does the buy
they
word
call
mean?
It covering that,
that's
the shorts.
Right. And it's called a short squeeze. If you're in the stock, he's buying back, and the stock accelerates and you're short, you're a dead man.
Yeah.
And so you do have.
Because they could lose everything.
Right. Because you have a lot of shorts sitting in that market. So you might see a further elevation before, let's say, maybe fundamentals take back over again. So we'll see. But that's great. I'm happy it is where it is for all of us in the market.
Well, now, having said all that,
Hillary should be happy, right? And Bernie doesn't have a dollar in the market, so he doesn't care.
But having said all of that, your mantra is, when it's bad, it's good, right?
I'd be a little careful up in this area. You know, if I have nice big profits on the table,
you might want to take some of those
might
profits.
Might be a lot of good times to take some money and put it away for something.
Because exactly.
You'll get your chance to buy again, I'm
take
sure.
Take some profits and wait for the market to dip again, right?
Yep.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Bill is on the line first. Bill, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Bill.
I listened to one of the callers a few minutes ago talking about how he's got a problem with Donald Trump. I'm so tired of hearing this. It's the Dennis Miller theory. It's anybody but Hillary.
You're right. Bill, you're so right on that.
Yeah, well just I don't know if you're aware of who Al is, that caller. He's a diehard liberal. I mean, he's a Democrat. He was a big Bernie Sanders supporter. He actually declared on our show a number of months ago that if Bernie Sanders got burned by Hillary, he was going to vote for Trump, which is why I asked him that question. And he came up with an out for himself. Having said that, though, to the Republicans out there, it has to be, you know, anybody but Hillary at this point.
Yeah, it's not even a debatable issue.
If you don't like Trump, fine. I can understand that. But you can't sit home and allow Hillary Clinton to become president of the United States. Just can't do it.
No. And they want to express their moral superiority because they're offended by something Trump said or whatever. The problem is they're suffering from cranial rectal syndrome. They don't seem to understand that whoever the next president is going to appoint at least two, possibly three Supreme Court justices.
Right.
Plus all of the other federal vacancies
justices
are going to be filled.
Right. There's about 60, I think. I think it's about 60 federal judgeships that are open right now. And of course, these are the judges who end up being on the appellate courts and making the, you know, the decisions that you know,
plus,
hold
Chris,
up legislation.
Don't you think too? Just you vote for the principles of the party when you have a situation you're not in love with the guy running. You know, I'm voting for smaller government. What? I'm voting for less regulation. I'm voting for less taxes. So I don't care if it's Trump or Donnie Bump. I'm going to vote that way.
You know, and all I know is that for how many elections have we been told, okay, you may not really like this candidate, but it's our candidate. It's the Republican candidate. Get out and vote for them, right?
Well, how many sat home from Romney because they weren't going to vote for a Mormon?
Yeah,
they
that
didn't
was
like
crazy.
As,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's you can't get the perfect candidate. You sometimes have to accept the lesser. But you have to look at the big picture, and whoever the president is really going to be a small consideration in this election.
Yeah.
The actual president, it's who they are going to appoint.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's going to be the ramifications of the election. It was what you're talking about, I think. And it's exactly right. And so, you know, to me, it's a no-brainer. To me, there's no excuse. You do it. And, you know, but there was a guy on Michael Gallagher's show this morning, and it was a pretty good debate. He had the pastor from Dallas, Jeffers, I think.
Yeah.
And then a fellow who's a never-Trumper on there. And I thought the pastor got the best of him, who was a big Trump guy. And he was saying, look, the very same thing you're talking about, these Supreme Court justices. You know, and, you know, Trump may not be the perfect Christian, but he's a whole lot closer to it than Hillary Clinton, you know, and his points were right on. And yet the other guy was, you know, he was, unfazed. Oh, no, I'm too conscientious to vote for Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, you moron, you're going to get Hillary Clinton. And you'd be able to thank yourself for that, but of course he'll never do it. But at the end of the day, he's rendering himself irrelevant. He's taking himself, people like that are taking themselves out of the fight. And, you know, so they'll be the ones having to do the explaining when explaining time comes, Judgment Day.
Terminal case of cranial rectal syndrome.
And it's awful hard to see when you got the cranium stuck up there, ain't it?
Yeah.
Hey, Bill.
Anyhow, thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Appreciate you calling. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take JJ's phone call and yours as well. If you would like to be a part of the show, you know the number. In case you don't, it's 407-774-8255. And please, if you haven't already, download that free WORL-FM-AM app so that you can participate in our poll questions like today's. Is Bernie's endorsement going to do any Hillary any good at the end of the day? I don't think so. What do you think? We'll be right back.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I took on the Iron Sheik from Iran. I took on Nikolai Volkov from the USSR. I took on Andre the Giant from France. I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
Hello.
Oh, and away we go.
Chris, I'd like to see him as a speaker. I'm serious. This guy gets you so fired up. You know, he could be joined Trump at his convention. You know, those people in Cleveland would love it if Hacksaw came with his 2x4.
Yep, there you go.
You know?
All right. Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That is Mike McBath. I'm Christopher Hart. We got another half hour of the show here to go today. And if you've not already, please download that app, though, WORL-FM free app, into your smart device so you can participate in our poll questions and hear us in case the Rays do interrupt our show, which they will be doing at 6:30 Friday.
That's
when they come back.
That's the second half of the season, Chris.
Kicks
off.
We got to
pray they go at least 500. Oh, boy.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. JJ has been patiently waiting. JJ, thank you for calling tonight.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hi, JJ.
Hi. I just wanted to say I did hear the Obama's speech at the memorial.
Today, yeah.
And, a lot of it was good. He's very good at, saying that, having a lot of things both ways. But he did happen to mention, he said something about we got to stop the flood of guns in this country.
Yeah.
He didn't mention that.
Yeah, he didn't make a big deal of it, but he couldn't resist bringing it up. You're right.
Right. And then, and I thought, who's we? You and Eric Holder?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah, like the Fast and Furious program, right?
Yeah, like he sort of has a knack for blaming America every time there's a tragedy. That's not who we are.
Yeah.
But then he says, I thought this was really adept. He said, and he was complimenting the Dallas Police Department. He goes, but he still got this out there. He goes, and the Dallas Police Department decreased their use of excessive force by 67% or 64%, insinuating right. that these other police departments around the U.S. aren't like they're known for excessive force.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. He was making these subtle references to that effect. Like I said, it wasn't an all-out, you know, gun control argument, but there were these
more well-behaved than usual.
Yeah, and they were more subtle sort of references. He wasn't sort of the lecturing Obama, but nonetheless, you know, that stuff aside, his words to me were powerless. There's no power in words when you don't follow your own advice. You know, when he says we need to listen to one another, we need to put ourselves in the other person's shoes, he never does anything like that. I mean, you have to do that with people you disagree with or it doesn't mean anything. And he's never done that with Republicans or conservatives. Just look at the way he treats Paul Ryan. Just look at the way he treats Trump. It, for these words to have any meaning, for them to have any power, he has to practice them himself, and he won't.
He has to help promote civility.
Exactly.
And
he won't do it. I guarantee you that.
My parents taught me growing up, if a cop stopped you, they didn't say if he was black or if he was white. They just said if a cop stops you, you know, you take the attitude, whatever you say is right, whatever you're about to say is right.
Yeah.
And just be respectful.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you can fight it in court or you know, elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always amazed though, JJ. You know, I came from a family too, like I'm sure you did, but we've all been instructed since, I don't know, you're 4 years old. If you're ever, you know, confronted with a policeman, you just act, you know, the nicest way you possibly can, give them the utmost respect. I can't even believe that these people think that they need to go the other direction, but they do. And why does that derive? Because of the mantra that's out there. Well, generated by some of our wonderful politicians.
Yeah, but let's back up here for a second, too, because most of these shootings occur as part of a criminal act. Okay?
Right.
The guy in Ferguson.
So you have more reason to act properly.
The guy in Ferguson, the guy in Baltimore, the guy recently in Baton Rouge, were all engaged in criminal activity. And it came to a bad end. Surprise, surprise. You know, I talked about this on the show before. If you are leading a life of crime, it's not going to have a happy ending. I'm sorry. And the only happy ending is you give it up and you go straight. But that's not what these people were doing. And it turns out that the guy in Minnesota, although he appears to have been innocent, there had been an armed robbery, and evidently the cop thought that he looked like a suspect.
It was a tragic mistake, but the thing is, because their nerves are on edge, it would go such a long way if Obama or even Bush would have said it. But say, you know, like, why don't you try people? We need to cooperate. These guys are under a lot of stress. They have a high-stress job.
Yeah.
You know, don't give them any grief.
Obama made a lame attempt at that approach, very lame attempt. But, yeah, they could have made much more of it. I was thinking about this last night. The networks should come up with a public service commercial which shows people how to act when you're pulled over. I got something from Pastor Peter. Pastor Peter was a police officer for, I don't know, about 15 or 20 years. And he texted me the six things you do when you're pulled over or lit up. He called it when you're lit up, when they put the lights on you. And the first thing he said you should do is put on your emergency flashers and look for a place to pull over. When you put on your flashers, you're letting the cop know, okay, I know you're back there and you're pulling me over and I'm just looking for a place. And so he'll follow, you know, give you a little bit of space. And then you put your window down. And then you put your hands on a steering wheel where he can see them, and you keep them there. And then from that point on, you basically follow instructions. And everybody needs to know this. I've made a mistake. When I was pulled out, I talked about something. I got pulled over out there on East 50 one afternoon by a highway trooper, patrol trooper. And I got out of the car and started to approach him. And he goes, "Whoa, what are you doing?" And he puts his hand on his gun. He says, "Get back in the car." I said, "I'm just coming back to see you." He says, "Get back in the car. That's okay. Get back in the car." And you know, it's blown into whatever political wind that the politicians want it to go. That's where it goes. It doesn't matter really the facts. And so when Obama stands up there and starts saying, "Well, we need to listen to one another and realize the life," come on, give me a break.
You know, Chris, too, the other day, Hillsdale College, there was a publication they came out with, and they just pointed out, and this really has to be constantly discussed, black crime rate is off the charts. It said blacks make up 23% of New York City's population, but they commit 75% of all the shootings, 70% of all robberies, and 66% of all violent crime. Now, why can't we discuss this? Obviously, there's a real problem there, and obviously, you're going to have to work with this to resolve the problem, and it's never touched. No one does anything in Chicago.
And what about that Harvard professor who just had that report said that if you're far more likely to be shot by a cop if you're white than if you're black?
Right.
And it was, as he said, the most surprising result he's ever seen.
And he was he's a black himself.
The first black tenured professor.
It involved over 1,000 shootings that the guy went in and investigated.
Exactly.
So, let's have the discussion. I don't know why these politicians can't bring the facts up and then discuss the issue, but they never bring the numerical facts up.
Because.
And let's not jump to conclusions and fly off the handle.
Right. Let's just talk about it.
That's why I say the president's words today were so empty and disingenuous, because that's exactly what they do on purpose.
Just because, the Trayvon Martin thing. They said the guy, he was shot by a white guy. Well, he was Hispanic. Well, the cop that unfortunately shot that guy that apparently was a really great guy up in Minnesota that, probably took his gun out to show that he had a gun or something. And,
once again, he was not.
He was Hispanic.
I know. Yeah, he wasn't. The cop was not a white cop. The cop who shot the fellow in Minnesota was not a white cop, as it turns out. Of course, the media missed that. Maybe that would have made a difference in Dallas. Who knows? But the bottom line is that the left, they don't care about the facts. All they care about is their storyline. And if the facts don't fit their storyline, they're either not going to report them, they'll downplay them, or they'll twist them around somehow. And that's what we see. And so when the president comes out and says, we need to be, he's just full of it.
It sounded good,
but they're not going to do it.
If you don't confront the facts, just like we read here in New York, how do you resolve it? You can't unless you show that, look what you were doing.
I understand, but that's why I'm saying the president's words were so empty.
They are. I can't. Blah, blah, blah. That's how I look at it.
He said the right things. The problem is he won't do it himself.
Right.
And he has never done it. So that's why I say his words have no power. They are empty.
Mm.
Yeah, JJ, thanks. I appreciate you pointing all that out. We appreciate you being out there. Let's go next to Craig. Thank you for calling tonight, Craig. We appreciate it.
Yeah, hey, Chris. As far as Trump goes, if the Republicans steal this nomination from him somehow, I don't know how, Hillary will be elected, period. And as far as the only person in the world that can get elected president and fix Washington, and the only way you can fix Washington is by basically arresting these politicians who are corrupt and have done corrupt
things. This is true, I agree.
And arrest them, like the Fast and Furious and everything, just everything. I mean, he can have a reality TV show called You're Fired.
A real one, right?
Well, see,
politicians.
I would be okay with that, except for maybe Hillary and Bill Clinton, because they are just, they're really criminals. But as far as the rest of them, just fire them and send them home. Just get them out of there. And we'll take it from there.
They need to be prosecuted also. If they've done bad enough stuff, they need to be prosecuted.
Yeah, like some people at the IRS I would include in that. Yep. Maybe a person or two at the Justice Department, as I've been talking about. But for the most part, they just need to be sent on their way.
Yeah, and since you brought up the IRS, I'd like to remind everyone that no other president has ever been elected that has been audited by the IRS for 20 or more years. And Donald Trump is the one and only person that could possibly bring in the fair tax, which would eliminate taxes on income. And that will grow our economy. Your Roth IRA, instead of be worth $500,000 in 10 years, it'll be worth $5 million in 10 years.
Yeah, well, because it would spur a tremendous amount of economic growth. You're absolutely right.
So speaking of corrupt.
Thanks, Craig.
Corinne Brown.
Did you see the article? I want to get to that in just a second. But I just got a text from Carl Jackson, and it's in regard to the caller a little while ago, and we were talking about the Never Trumpers. And Carl makes a good point. He says you can catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. And especially in the social world, the social network, a lot of Trump supporters are very, shall we say, impatient and harsh with the anti-Trump people. And a few more words of kindness and a few less fighting words go a long way, and I'll agree with that. And Carl has never been. He's always was a Cruz guy. He's not a big fan of Trump's, but the way he sees it is, you know, our military and cops don't need Hillary Clinton as president of the United States. He's in essence making the argument that I'm talking about. You don't have to like Trump, but
no,
we can't have Hillary.
Right?
We just can't. We have to go with Trump. We've been fans of him here for a while because we see the potential that he has. He has the potential to really snatch this country back onto the right track. And it's because he is so bold and bodacious. And it's because he's a delegator. He picks smart people, assigns them tasks, and then sits back and makes sure that they accomplish the task. Jeb Bush this morning in his interview with MSNBC was lamenting, "Oh, how can I vote for a guy? He still to this day doesn't have any specifics. You know, I had all these specifics and he doesn't have any specifics." Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Jeb Bush. We're sick and tired of politicians and their damn specifics, which lock them into policy positions that are untenable. Okay, we want a guy who can go in there and kick butt and take names and get something doggone done. And he's smart enough to know he doesn't have to have a plan. All he has to do is get elected and appoint good, smart people, and we will find the solutions. Any politician who thinks they have the plan to fix the United States of America is full of shucks.
I mean, Chris, think about it. I always laugh when I hear that, as if the average person could absorb an in-depth plan during a discussion with, you know, I mean, are you kidding me? Oh, come on, Jeb. That's why you're sitting where you are.
That's why he is where he is, and he's going to be one of these bozos who can't go out and vote.
And he'll fade into the sunset. If he doesn't step up for Trump and Trump wins, you're done.
He's rendering himself irrelevant.
Yep.
You know, just
he'll join Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson.
Yeah, you know what Carl is doing is he's seeing the bigger picture,
right?
You know, and at the end of the day, I have more faith in Donald Trump than I do in Hillary Clinton, as far as being capable of turning this country around, getting the economy back on track, getting the military where it needs to be, and hopefully, and I do believe, because he has so many friends in the entertainment industry, people of color, that he is more capable of actually bringing this country back together than Hillary Clinton, because all she's going to want to do is talk to the white folk. She's going to divide us up into the white and the black. And she going to talk to us white folk. Can you imagine 4 years or more of Hillary Clinton lecturing us white folk?
Yeah.
Oh, gag me with a spoon, baby.
I mean, the other thing, too, is, I mean, just think of Trump, right? A true job creator. Think of Hillary. 25, 30 years of doing nothing. Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Not even debatable.
I'd like to give her 25 or 30
in the big
years
house,
of time to do.
We'll give you get a hammer and you get some.
All right, speaking of time, we got to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to take Gene's phone call, so please don't go away. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, where we are so very proud to be here running our mouths.
Soon to be put away. They're coming to take you away, haha. They're coming to take you away.
Oh. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversary. We just have a few minutes left. I want to go to the phone lines, though. Gene, I only have a couple of minutes, though, so please be brief and to the point. And thank you for calling, though. We appreciate that.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to ask about an aspect in a few of Hillary's email lies. And if you've talked about this, please forgive me. I don't listen every night.
Oh, please,
shame on you.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead, though.
Anyhow, I want to know how many of our precious intelligence assets, both American, Afghani, and even Iraqi, have been murdered or captured and tortured because of her email. I mean, we know the four in Benghazi that were killed, but now we know that there are probably they were just the tip of a very large iceberg.
Well, you raise a great point, because that's part of the problem, and that I believe
we don't know.
They brought that up the other day when Comey was in there, but we don't know. We do know that many of our assets were exposed or put in jeopardy because she left them exposed, and it could very well be that the Russians and other spy agencies now know exactly who they are and where they are and could do something to them should they choose to do so. I don't know that we have lost any other assets yet. The problem is, however, though, they're hanging out there now like big old ripe fruit waiting to be picked.
And how many emails were erased, Chris? No one knows what was ever on these emails.
Yeah.
I agree with Gene. This could have been just devastating to us.
And even if they have not yet been targeted, they could very easily be targeted.
Right,
and that's part of the problem. And
those people over there that trusted us and put their lives on the line.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the thanks that we give them. We let her off the hook. And they're out there hanging out, exposed. So,
well, thank you much for what you guys do.
Well, thank you for calling. I really appreciate you being out there, Gene.
Chris, there is a way to get her, though.
And that is?
The foundation.
The foundation.
And, another newsy note that came out 2 days ago was the Canadian affiliate of Clinton Foundation, okay? They pointed out that 80% was what they charged in administrative costs on this gigantic foundation in Canada. This is the Funnel Foundation, where the people that she sells influence to, they make their contribution to the foundation in Canada. Then the foundation in Canada will send the money across to the Clinton Foundation, but they don't have to name the individuals who were the
made the original contribution.
And this is the foundation where there was 1,000 names, remember, that were never disclosed.
Right.
That's where the money came from, this foundation across to the Clintons. And do you know that this foundation, which raised millions and millions of dollars, they were really effective. They gave away one scholarship. are you kidding me that this goes on and on? But I don't know I guess we don't know who's under investigation at this point.
I was just going to say, and speaking of going on and on, it looks like the investigations are going on and on. All right, and the clock is going on and on, too. So let's find out the final tally of our poll question tonight, please. Nick LoCicero.
Yeah, the question was, will the Bernie Sanders endorsement help Hillary Clinton in the polls? And it looks like 84% say no.
See?
Nope.
I just think the period's been dried up. She missed her window of opportunity. Sorry, Hillary.
Well, if the Bernie supporters are conscientious like the Never Trumpers, they won't be voting for Hillary. Yep. They may not vote for Trump, but they won't be voting for Hillary.
Don't do that, Dale, Chris. Don't do that.
That's right. All right. Well, looks like we're all out of time. I got a whole lot more to talk about, but no time to do it. So you're going to have to tune in tomorrow night. Thank you, Nick LoCicero. And thank you, folks, for tuning in. And if you participated in the poll, we appreciate that as well. Don't forget, Larry Elder is coming up next, and you'll be able to hear him right here on these very stations. Night, everybody.
At AM 660, The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. The official radio station of Decision 26.